as a call to worship, we have the bells, so... I invite you to stand. God gathers God's chosen people together to encourage them with the word and strengthen them with the bread and wine of Holy Communion. Amen. At this time, will you please greet your neighbor? For our opening song? Up here? Anybody? Everybody else can stay standing. Oh, come on, come on! God of action, forgive us for all the opportunities we pass up to be your light in the world, so that our lives will be more convenient. We confess to God and to each other. O God of journeys, call us again to step forth in faith and trust in your possibilities. We confess to God and each other. Hear the good news. God has given us everything we need, including each other. God has forgiven each one of us and calls us to take our parts in the story of God's love and care. Christ calls us to join the journey and enables us to begin again and again. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together the prayer of the day. Living God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives, make known your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Coming down off the mountain with them, he stood on a plain surrounded by disciples and was soon joined by a huge congregation from all over Judea and Jerusalem, even from the seaside towns of Tyre and Sidon. They had come both to hear him and to be cured of their ailments. Those disturbed by evil spirits were healed. Everyone was trying to touch him. So much energy surged from him, so many people healed. Then he spoke. You're blessed when you're lost at all. God's kingdom is there for the finding. You're blessed when you're ravenously hungry, then you're ready for the messianic meal. You're blessed when tears flow freely. Joy comes in the morning. Count yourselves blessed every time someone cuts you down or throws you out, every time someone sneers or blackens your name to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort, and that person is uncomfortable. For even though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds and knows that you are in good company. My preachers and witnesses have always been treated like this. The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We'll have the offering, and we'll sing the song Canticle of Turning.
My heart is great, and my spirit sings of wonder.
I was five when I learned this little poem. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Anybody here ever memorize that little poem? Really? Really? You know, and I believed it for a while, and then I discovered words do hurt. They can hurt really bad. Nowadays, anonymously text words, words that can be incredibly cruel, have driven some teenagers to suicide. Words hurt. But not only do they hurt, spoken often enough by a whole society, they tend to shape how we think ourselves and how we imagine ourselves being in this world. I watched the Super Bowl this year. 3 quarters of defense, 1 quarter of offense. I confess I did do a little channel surfing. But there was one commercial I really appreciated. Don't we watch the Super Bowl for the commercials? This one celebrated young women's involvement in sports and how sports have changed how young women see themselves. They now see themselves as strong and capable. They're confident. They know they're intelligent. They know they can be leaders. They know they can work as a team. A new word is being spoken, and it's shaping young women. Those two right there are prime examples. Did you know that women were not allowed to compete in the Olympics until 1900? And then only in tennis, golf, croquet, and horse riding. I got the impression as I read the information that year it was experimental. And in the following Olympics, tennis and sailing became women's sports. Not until 1967 was there a women's mile in the Olympics. Before then, it was thought a mile was just too far for women to run. Women weren't strong enough. They didn't have that kind of endurance. And believe it or not, it took till 1972 for women to be invited to participate in the Boston Marathon. We have a woman right here who has participated in the Boston Marathon. Right, Jill? First woman, 1972. Didn't become an Olympic sport for women until 1984. Women weren't invited to play hockey in the Olympics until 1980. We went and watched the UW hockey team last year, the women's team. They were amazing. They skated fast. And believe me, there was checking going on. It was a physical sport. But before that, women were taught that they were weak. They just were not physically capable of doing anything really tough. I remember the first time I went on a canoe trip, I was a canoe guide, and by the end of the summer, I knew I was strong, I was capable, I could do things I had no idea I could do. And the same is true for young women today. Well, in today's gospel lesson, the same kind of stuff is happening. Jesus is surrounded by sick people. They're coming to him to be cured, and Jesus heals as many as possible. The gospel tells us that the power was just kind of surging off his body. What were those people told about themselves and their situation? They were told they were sinners, that they were getting just what they deserved, that God was punishing them for their sins. Just imagine how that would shape how they looked at themselves. They thought they were worthless. And how about the poor and the hungry and those grieving the loss of loved ones? Much the same. If you're poor, if you're hungry, it's your own fault. You're either lazy or God is punishing you. Because everyone knows God is on the side of the rich. That's what their priests taught. That blessings meant wealth. And if you had blessings, you were in with God. But to tell you the truth, there are two streams of thought in the Old Testament. Both are there. And you can pick up on one or the other and preach both of them. The first came from Abraham and Jacob and Isaac and Joseph. God called Abraham and his descendants to be a blessing to the world and promised Abraham plenty of livestock, plenty of land, and plenty of children. When they left Ur, it took some time because they had their servants and they had their camels and their donkeys and their sheep and their goats. They didn't move real fast. The other theme comes from the Exodus. God chose a group of slaves to be God's chosen people. And God said, I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you and I'll win your freedom from Pharaoh. And sure enough, God fought for them and they won their freedom. And before they entered the promised land, God said, now remember where you came from. Remember you were slaves. Remember I fought for you. And never forget the orphan, the widow, the refugee in your midst. Never forget them. Well, of course they did. When they themselves were wealthy, they forgot. And then they lost it all. And the prophets came and reminded them, those who were poor and hungry, that God has always had a special place in God's heart for them. God has always fought for them. Guess which theme the priest in Jesus' day preached. Not that one where God had a special place in God's heart for the poor and the hungry. No, they preached if you were on God's side, if you were blessed by God, you were all right. If you were rich, if you were poor, if you were hungry, you were a sinner. But in Jesus' sermon today, that one I just read to you, Jesus is telling those folks once again that they are blessed by God, not meaning happy, but meaning you're righteous, you're right with God. God has chosen to care about you, to love you. God has a special place in God's heart for you. Remember, words are powerful. Words have the power to change the way you think about yourself, the way you feel about yourself. The words Jesus was preaching that day were telling this crowd that they were loved by God. We may no longer hear that as radical, as earth-changing or world-turning upside-down kind of message. But the authorities in Jesus' day heard it, and knew that it'd be tough after this Jesus got done preaching and teaching to keep these people down, to keep them satisfied with the scraps that they threw their way. And believe me, Jesus got pushback. I remember my first call. After 4 years in seminary, I had it drilled into my head that you use inclusive language because words are powerful. You don't always use the he pronoun. You use she, he, or you use they. And when you talk about mankind, you don't say mankind, you say humankind. It's so much more inclusive. It includes men and women and children. And when you talk about God, you don't say God, he. Because when God is male, male is God. And where did we get that idea that God was male in the first place? In Genesis 1, it says God created them. In the image of God, God created them. Male and female, God created them. Right there in the very beginning of the Bible, the Bible is telling us, if you want to get a good idea of what God is like, you have to look at both genders. The people in my congregation picked up on it, and I got pushback. Recently, I read a book about Martin Luther. Never understood where Martin Luther King Jr. got his name. He's a junior, so he got it from his father. But discovered his father went to Germany to study theology soon after World War II. Studied theology and heard the story of Martin Luther for the first time. How Luther stood up to the most powerful institution in Europe in his day, the Catholic Church. How Luther started out really quite naive, assuming the Pope would want to correct the practice of selling indulgences because it wasn't biblical. You don't get forgiveness of sins by buying a piece of paper. Jesus went to the cross for forgiveness. Didn't realize it was the church's way of raising funds for the Pope's lavish lifestyle, for the building of St. Peter. He studied the whole story and came to realize that Luther was a man who was committed to telling the truth no matter what the consequences. Totally expected to be burned at the stake. Martin Luther King's father came home, changed his name to Martin Luther King, and named his son Martin Luther King Jr., telling him that you too will be a man who stands up, who speaks the truth, no matter what the consequences. And he did. He stood up and said, "Black people have every right to live in this country like anyone else, to be treated like human beings." February is Black History Month. What words have our Black brothers and sisters had to deal with for hundreds of years? Words that accuse them of being lazy, because they didn't work for slave owners who whipped them. Words that told them they were mere property to be used and abused, sold and purchased for the sake of profit. Words they resisted listening to. They had the strength to realize that they too were human beings, worthy despite the beatings and the lynchings. worthy to be treated like human beings. And now we have the Black Lives Matter movement. They're trying to create new words to not only shape their reality, but to shape everyone's. Black lives matter too. The words in the gospel today are powerful words. The gospel is a powerful word. Spoken first to slaves in Egypt 3,500 years ago, again by Jesus 2,000 years ago, words spoken time and time again, powerful words. Words that are still spoken today. And I think at times we forget just how powerful they were and are. God does indeed love each and every one of us and gives us the courage to stand up and speak the truth, knowing that God is on our side. When the going got tough, you know what Martin Luther would do? In fact, he did it every day, no matter what. He would get up out of bed, and he would say to himself, I am baptized, I am loved by God. And then he could go out into the world and be God's man. We can speak those words and go out into the world and be God's men and women, boys and girls. Amen. Let's confess our faith. You believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for all people according to their needs. Lord, we pray for our leaders. We pray for those who are called to serve you, all of us, really. We pray that each and every one of us, Lord, will hear your word, see its truth, and live it. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for people who are traveling today, who are out on the roads. We thank you, Lord, for each and every one who braved the weather, that come to hear your word today. Lord, in your mercy. We pray, Lord, for those among us who are ill in any way, if they're going through times of stress at home or at work, if they're sick, Lord, pour out your healing spirit upon them. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please stand for the blessing. May the peace of God light your way and enlighten your vision. We go to show and tell the good news and dream the dreams of God. Go in peace, be the light of Christ. Thanks be to God.